mind.
No, go ahead.
I don't want to.
Okay. This is also how the podcast goes. No, please, by all means. No.
Never mind.
All right, you're going to hear some music, and then we'll start. This will be a nice, awkward episode, so it'll be fun. Okay, Sean usually runs it, and then I don't, so I hope you like movies. The Lousy Weather Media Main Show, episode 204. I'm Paul Wolf.
I'm Slim.
I'm Bob.
Got Josie in the corner. Say hello.
Hello.
We have Chris Paul with us today, and I don't know if everyone heard that, but that was the collective sound of all the iPods shutting off as I introed the show, not Sean.
Yeah, I thought you were going to start with a little story or something.
But I thought you meant when you said Chris Paul. Oh, yeah.
But the people with Androids are still listening?
I don't know who has iPods either.
Okay, guys. Cool. Call me
this
out
was,
already.
The joke was a period piece.
Yes, yeah. We all remember 2011, if that's relevant in then, too. So, you guys had a fun weekend. You went and played the Hive Mind.
I did. How I opened that whole thing up. It was perfect. The show went amazing. I had fun meeting all the performers, and me and Chance killed it.
Slim's a rapper, so. Chris. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't know that. You probably did. You probably follow him on social media and all that stuff, right?
Everyone.
all of them. All the people, I follow them.
Always good for a retweet, this guy. Yeah.
Chris Retweet Paul, they call him. So he played a Hive Mind show, which Bobby's girlfriend put on, and a few other people, correct?
Yeah, it's just basically her and a couple of her friends.
Right on. And what was it like, Bob? Give us the rundown.
It was great. There was badass art hanging on the walls, like every inch of the walls, badass art. There was jackets and shirts and stuff that were all custom made.
Jackets
on
right now,
Yeah, everything was for sale.
You have a jacket on?
There was nonstop music all night. It was like very good vibes, very chill. People were drinking. People were it was like a party at a show. It was like a show party.
Yeah, BYOB show is like the coolest thing to me because I was like, I can bring whatever I want.
Yeah, honestly, that's like one of my favorite things to do. Like anytime I'm playing a show or going to a show, I'd rather have it at a house or something like that, or like a place like Hive Mind. What about you, Chris? What's your favorite show to play?
Something similar. I don't know. We used to do our show at a BYOB place, but it seems to go better at a bar.
Really? Why?
I think it's just easy. It was tough because we weren't allowed to tell people it was a BYOB. Like, we just had to kind of invite people and then let them figure it out as the months went on.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, if you came, you're like, you can bring beer, but we just can't. Why couldn't you say it online? Was it actually like an establishment, not like a house, I take it?
There was a well-known narc in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
who an ass. He goes around reporting everybody for building codes and anything he can find to write City Hall about.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lovely life.
Yeah.
We have
old piece of shit named Henry Senyak.
Shout out. Where's my belt?
Yeah.
We had a block captain get angry at us because we have shows in our basement and stuff like that, like comedy shows, and we had a block captain yell at a few people. He was not very happy with us for having people park on a street, I guess.
Oh, so it wasn't like a noise?
No, it was just parking, yeah. Okay. He's like, I can't believe you parked that close to a driveway. It's like, not even his. But he's like, I'm a block captain. You gotta listen.
Yeah.
Aye, sir.
Just those people that have so little control over their lives that they have to fucking prey on others to feel like they have control. Yeah, those are the fucking worst.
A lot of busybodies out there.
Yes.
I hate the people at apartments that are like that.
Yeah.
I deliver pizzas a lot, and there's always somebody that at like the door of the apartment that won't let anybody inside.
Yeah. Especially when it's an apartment building where you're like, man, a guy just pissed down the hallway. Yeah. What are you enforcing?
I know it's secure and all, but
someone will see me like holding like 3 pizza bags and like 4 2 liters and shit. Like I can't even carry everything and use a phone at the same time.
Or open the door if you wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. And like someone will be like, I'll get this door for you. And then like someone runs around the corner out of nowhere. Like, no one is allowed in this building. They have to call.
Yeah.
It's a constant thing.
Yeah. I had when I first moved into the apartment down the road, I was locked out of the building for an hour and a half because I didn't have my key.
And no one would let you in.
And no, this old lady kept fucking slamming the door every time I tried to like open it and shit. And I was like, the postman finally was like, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Paul Wolf." I was like, "Fucking," so I was so drunk too. And and he called like the landlord, and they're like, "Yeah, he does live here." And they're like, "Okay, we'll let him in." What a good story that was.
You gotta keep an empty pizza box in the car and just pretend you're there.
There you go. I do deliver pizza. Yeah, I should. I'm like, "No, I'm just delivering this pie. Sorry, lady. Let me in."
No, like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Did you try acting drunk? That might have been.
I've never tried that.
I've done it where I've buzzed random people and just said, "I'm here with the pizza." And they usually will let you in anyways because they just assume you got the wrong number.
But I just delivered to a guy the other day and I handed him a credit card receipt and he looks at me and he looks at the receipt and he looks at me and he looks at the receipt and he's like, "Must be Cody's." And I was like, "Wait a second, I look at the address, I'm on the wrong road. Not even the right address." it was so late at night that like I was like, "Oh, this dude always orders, it's definitely him." It was like Elm Drive instead of Elm Wood or something like that. And I went up to him and he's like, "Yeah, I'll sign for it." He was about to tip and everything. I was going to get really fucked over. Yeah. Man.
Damn.
So, Chris, you're a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
How? What was your last show?
Saturday we had the roast battles, the ad hominem attack show in
Lakewood. Yeah. How was that?
It was.
Who's being roasted?
It was a very raucous crowd.
Who did you roast?
We had four or five battles. The main thing we had was Marlon Fears. And Mike Dragon, and I don't know how to explain Marlon without sounding, without getting hate mail. He's a special guy.
Okay.
But he's been doing comedy for maybe a year. I think he's been around about a year now. But he's a pretty crazy character.
Are his jokes good?
It's very hard to explain. Define good.
Did you laugh?
Yes, everyone laughed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. A good response. I would say. Wait, at him or with him or
both?
Okay, so a mixture of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an odd one.
It's a very stream of conscience. He's obsessed with cornbread.
Really?
Yeah. It's a
actually
whole thing.
Obsessed.
He took his shirt off during his roast battle and started eating cornbread like he was Popeye eating spinach.
Oh, was he getting stronger?
Yes.
Were the jokes getting stronger?
He was getting louder and more boisterous.
Oh, okay.
And, which did get the crowd going even more. So.
Right on. Wow.
So the cornbread works.
Yeah. Prop comedy's not dead.
And remember that when I'm losing crowd at my rap show.
I started eating cornbread. I watched a roast battle. I feel like it was the roast of Jeremy Shear. Did you host that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed your like little sections and stuff like that because you got to come on and just make little one-liners at their expense and you're like, "Okay, go ahead." Yeah. And you just got the fuck off. And do you like roasting? Like, do you like being the host or do you like the roast? Yeah, I know, Ron. Don't worry
roast.
About it. He's a rapper, so he's real tuned in.
My eyes wide.
I'm writing that down.
The way that we do the show now, because it's changed, we've been doing it about a year and a half, and it's kind of, we've added and taken away things. But the way that we do it now, Ryan DiPerna, my co-host, we both stay on stage during the battle, and we lob in extra jabs.
Oh, really?
Just in case, you know, one of them is bombing.
So you're like a corner guy that can fight as well.
Yeah.
And not on any team either.
Yeah. I do, when I actually do a battle, I get jealous of Ryan because he gets to slam everyone as they come up. And
yeah, that's kind of what you got to do.
My turn.
Yeah, when you were the host of Jeremy's.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to kind of poke at everybody.
Yeah, I prefer to be up there shitting on everyone as much as possible.
Yeah, now when you write roast jokes, like, do you go into like their social media and you try to feel that, or do you just know these people personally enough to just be like, "I can write a whole page"?
Mostly it's that, or a lot of them are ad lib during the show.
Really?
Think of something.
Yeah, oh, okay. I mean, like while other people
like
are going
up, a few
up.
Minutes ahead.
Yeah.
Not just sometimes, but not just straight up improv. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
I would assume that would be kind of hard.
I'll usually get to the show and look at everyone on it and go, what do I hate about these people?
I know them pretty well. How can I shit on them?
Yeah, and then I'll say it.
Roast battles, like, would freak me the fuck out. Like, does it ever get, like, so real that, like you're like, God, that sucked for me to hear, even as an audience member?
Mostly when it's when a joke is really mean, but it doesn't go well.
So it doesn't land, it's just outwardly hateful.
It always makes me laugh, but it's embarrassing for the person, and the other person kind of, you'll see a look on their face that's like, oh.
That fucking sucked. Yeah. That was way too real.
Yeah. I enjoy getting roasted too, though. Because I don't know what it is. It always makes me laugh. And then I go, ooh, they noticed that.
Has anybody ever went too far with a joke?
With you?
Is that what you're with anyone.
Oh, okay.
Nothing I can think of. I mean, everybody that's done this show has been pretty... we try to put people with somebody they at least kind of know.
Yeah.
Except for we've done tournaments a couple of times where you end up going up against somebody you don't know just because process of elimination.
Right.
And those are kind of weird, but even those, it's all in good spirits, and the people that don't know each other will go back and talk and, like, basically give each other dirt on themselves.
Really?
Yeah, oh, just wow. To help the show.
I would assume that would funnier. Just be all physical humor, like, you look like this, and because that's all they have to go on.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, but yeah, people generally look each other up on Facebook or just chat, and, you know, like, what are your general interests I can make fun of, or, you know, that kind of thing.
I like the fact that they go behind stage and they're like, all right, so I do this and this is horrible about me. Go ahead and write about it. It's fine. It's for the show. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever see myself doing that. Be like, okay, this is why I suck. Yeah. Please make everyone else laugh at me for it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just really insecure. I think that's what we're getting to.
That's it. So I like movies.
Yeah. I do a really bad podcast about movies. It's not spelled right. I retain nothing and I drink a lot. They're like, I got it. All right. 3 pages later, I'm like, fuck me.
Alcoholic is what they're writing down.
But yeah, so my weekend was fun. Josie celebrated her birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Josie. Happy birthday.
Woo!
We went to Hibachi, Japan. That was a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Sat around and watched Terminator 1, 2, Genesis. Have you seen Genesis?
I have.
What are your thoughts on it? So sorry, Sean, that you're going to listen to this, because he's like, movies, what the fuck? But yeah, because she really liked Genesis. She was like, you have to sit down and watch T1, T2, and then we have to watch Genesis. You'll appreciate it more as a whole if you watch those three in a row. I've seen all of them, obviously, but...
Yeah. Yeah, you can skip 3 for the most part.
Oh, 3 doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Rise of the Machines.
What about the series?
I didn't watch that. The Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Yeah.
That one? No, I didn't watch that.
They played it like it was in continuity with the movies, but I don't know. I
would hope so. Because when we watched it, I was like, I would be curious to know, like, the time period between, like, T1, like, Terminator and then Judgment Day, like, Sarah Connor, like, she just becomes a badass in T2. I want to know how she became that badass.
Yeah, there is a big gap there, isn't there?
10 years, John Connor.
So is the show not even about that?
Is John Connor born yet?
I think he's like 20.
Oh, geez.
Like, he's just a little older than T2. And they jump around in time. They go live in the '90s for a long time.
But so it's a period piece.
Yeah, completely lost track of it. It's not that good. But.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever watch it.
Right. That's on. Funny.
Yeah. I went to Puttin' Bay this weekend, too.
Ooh, what'd you do?
Oh, just drank myself to death.
Oh, right on.
From like 1 in the afternoon to 1 in the morning.
Now, do you do anything out there or just sit at a bar?
Initially, the first time I went out there, we went and rented a golf cart. And we just explored the island and just was being drunk and stupid and hanging out of the golf cart. And,
like, isn't it weird that you can just drive drunk if you're in a golf cart?
Well, I can get DUIs.
There?
Yeah.
Really?
There's a lot of cops.
Oh, wow.
But we were just like, fuck it!
Yeah, because I've been to, like, private islands where they don't have cops or anything like that.
No, we actually saw a fight on the ferry on the way home, and they actually stopped the ferry, turned it around, and a cop rolled up and, like, arrested him or whatever.
They didn't want to go to the other side? Just, like, meet us
No,
there.
They're just like, nope, you're staying the night in the island. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I want to go home. God damn it.
Do you know what the fight was about?
No, not at all. I thought it was, like,
two dudes going at it until the one took off their shirt and there was a sports bra, and I was like, oh, okay, it's all right, cool. This lesbian was just about to mop this dude up, and I was like, oh shit, that's awesome.
I don't know what this is, but I accept it.
Yeah.
It was the next cyborg fight.
Right, yeah.
Right there.
The black cyborg.
You just got out your microphone and started doing A&A, and I'm in. He does a mixed martial arts podcast. So I just assume that he's always just waiting for a fight to break out and commentate it.
Right. That's a good idea, actually.
I don't know why you don't have one of those portable mics yet.
Dude, I really
take
should.
Take to events.
Use my phone.
Yeah. All right, that's well, funny. You guys want to take a break real quick, and then we'll hop back
should
into
we
the
shout
interview.
Out
with
the other shows?
Oh, yeah. All the podcasts put out something new except for I Can't Read, so check it all out.
Aww.
Do you want to shout them out, Bob? All right.
There's the Wingman. Check it out.
Yeah, that's our news podcast. Steve Guy.
Let the Hate Flow Through You.
Yes, that was about Catholicism with T.M. Francis.
Keeping a 99.
I saw him get into a fight dressed as Jesus one time.
Really?
That was amazing.
Who was he fighting?
Some drunk dude at
the they weren't dressed up too?
No.
Oh, that would have been good.
No. No, it was better that he was the only one dressed up, I think.
Oh, really? Just Jesus, like, repent for your sins.
Uh-huh. I bet that's not even the only time that's happened to TM.
Dressed as Jesus, too?
Does Chris Klem have a new episode?
I'm not sure.
Because you said all of them.
But Chris Klem's Capscast, if he does, it's on iTunes.
Chris Klem.
Yeah, thank you. Tripped over those. All
he
those
can't
C's.
Read.
Yeah,
he can't talk.
I know. Alliterations are really hard, dude.
There's Sean's Wrestling Show.
Yeah, LWP, they put out a new.
Sean's Wrestling Show.
And Derek.
That's actually a really good name for it.
Tune in.
Well, no, Sean's Derek Wrestling Show, yeah. Is a big part of it, man.
Yeah, he's the anchor.
Yeah.
To Sean's,
I don't know what that means.
To Sean's boat. He keeps him grounded. Afloat? No, I don't know. And the Unbelievables put out a
new
podcast.
It was funny. I watched them recording their wrestling podcast, and Derek was like, it's like somebody came downstairs and was like, are you guys having a good time or something? And Derek like reached over and grabbed Sean's beer, and he was like, two or three more sips of this, and maybe we will. So, like, he relies, I think, on Sean getting super drunk during that.
And possibly passing out on air.
Yeah, exactly. Sean will go on tangents about, like, so in 1983, like...
And it's insane. The more drunk he gets, he's still spitting out facts. I'm like, I can't even say Chris Klem's podcast after one beer. And he's just like... <Right. laughs> he's spit out shit that I'm like, how do you remember that at all? But yeah, they put out a new episode. Yeah, I Can't Read didn't, and I think that was all of them, right?
A&A MMA did, but yeah, don't listen to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I fucked up. I don't know how. Yeah. It sounds like we're recorded underwater and not on the Unbelievable submarine.
They were. I might be on the Unbelievables this week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Right on. That's a fun show.
It's either we recorded it already. I don't know what week it's coming out.
I was on last week. It was great.
Sick. Cool.
Cool. Way to steal his thunder, dude. He recorded in the basement downstairs. Oh my god.
Whoa! What's happening?
What there we go, we're good. I'll edit that out. That was my phone that dropped and then something horrible happened. I don't know if you guys heard that. Anyways, he recorded down the basement while Sean was recording his wrestling podcast, and yeah, it sounds like he's talked like
alright, so this episode
it's insane. I'm sorry,
there will be an apology episode.
Oh
next
wow
Sunday.
You do that?
We will now.
I've cut an episode with 30 minutes of it missing, and I was like, well, play it as it lies. And I'm pretty sure you can go back and re-edit like the post.
Yeah, hey. I didn't know how to fix my mess, so I was like, whatever.
Right on. Well, though, we're going to listen to some music, then we'll come back in with the interview with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Who we wait, Rob?
He got a shirt on in the end.
Who is Ray Roberts?
Stand up comic and a male model.
Who is Ray Roberts?
He owns a motherfucking podcast.
Who is Ray Roberts?
It's called 9 AM Nonsense.
Who is Ray Roberts?
You gotta shut up with any model.
Who is Ray Roberts?
Stand up comic and a male model.
Who is Ray Roberts?
He owns a motherfucking podcast.
Who is Ray Roberts?
It's called 9 AM Nonsense.
Hey, download it on iTunes.
Who is Ray Roberts?
About to start your morning mood. Hey, download it on iTunes, 9 AM Nonsense, about to start your morning move.
Who is Ray Roberts?
Just.
All right, and we're back. Gave Andrew DJ control and he's having a blast.
Great time.
All right, Chris Paul.
Yes.
Where were you born?
Cleveland.
Any specific space? Just the whole city?
Yeah, it was several times across the entire...
Put them back in. We got to go.
In an alley where my parents were murdered.
Oh, wow. Batman. Baby Batman.
In Euclid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Euclid, right on.
I lived in Georgia from like 5 to 16.
Oh, so you were in Cleveland just from like 0 to 5?
Yeah.
So you don't really remember those years, I take it?
Not so much.
How was Georgia growing up as a teenager?
Oh, it's weird there.
Where out in Georgia?
The kind of tri-state with Tennessee and Alabama.
Okay, it's so like the not coastally.
West corner. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, real close. The Georgia-Alabama border is weird because on the Alabama side, it's a dry state, and on the Georgia side, fireworks are illegal. So, like, across the state line, there's a liquor store on one side and a fireworks store on the other side, like, at every major freeway. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, can you fire off fireworks in the illegal place, or you just can't buy them there? Or neither.
Well, mostly you can do whatever you want because it's all mountains and country. And,
gotcha.
Yeah. Where I lived at growing up, I think I saw maybe 2 cops in 10 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah. They don't go there unless somebody calls them.
So did you grow up in a very rural area?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good 45-minute bus ride to school.
Holy shit.
From where we lived.
Do you have neighbors?
On a mountain. Yeah. These huge hillbilly dudes that were... They were all brothers and jerks. Lived about a quarter mile down the road was the closest neighbor.
Wow. So you don't have a southern accent. You never picked up on it, huh?
I purged it.
Oh, so you did have it.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get rid of that?
It's probably longer than it is in my head.
I'm a little ashamed.
Yeah.
Did you come back here and you're like, I have to get rid of this shit?
Yeah, I got a lot of shit for it.
What, just being called
a while?
Well, so you left when you were 16?
That hillbilly kid.
Okay.
Stuff like that, yeah.
You know, the regular. Yeah. So, when you were in Georgia, like, that was obviously the formidable years. Like, what'd you do in school? Were you, like, the class clown? Were you the jokester? Were you the kid that didn't have an accent so people made fun of you there, too?
I moved around within the county a bunch. And different times I was at the school, I was or wasn't a class clown.
Oh, okay. So if you were new, you were like on the back off?
Yeah, I was just quiet a lot, yeah. And then I would switch back and feel comfortable because I already knew those people from the last time. But
oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Why were you shuffled around so much?
We got evicted a lot.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if it was like army base or something like that. Yeah.
No, it was... just poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, did you play sports? Were you doing anything?
I did meth.
Okay.
Most of high school. And then dropped out.
I think you were really good at school then. You're very focused. No?
Yeah, no. Okay. No, yeah. I barely went to the high school. It was an awful place. I mean, to be fair, it was a school where, like, I feel more educated that I didn't go to school.
Oh, there. Wow.
It was a real, you know, like if evolution comes up, it's a real like, well, this is just one theory among many.
So was this a public school, though?
It was, yeah, a public school.
Wow, so it was just so Bible-belty that they were like, you know, they need us to teach you this so you can pass. But.
Yeah, there was a race fight at least once where all the redneck kids that... It's like soon as you're 16 in Georgia, you get a pair of Rockies and a pickup truck with a gun rack.
Oh.
Yeah. And they, at least at the time, they were totally fine with you driving to school with your rifle and your gun rack and shit like
Holy
that.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
Parking lot.
excuse me. You mentioned meth. So did you have like a big drug phase or was it just... generated towards Georgia?
Like 14 to 19 or 20.
14 sounds young for meth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's
pretty...
yeah. That seems like, well, weed was all right, but...
Yeah, I had horrible uncles and They were bikers. I was raised by bikers, basically.
That's awesome. That's way cooler than wolves.
It's okay.
Yeah, obviously it didn't turn out. Yeah. I mean, it turned out fine, but yeah, for those 4 years, it was probably fucked. So you obviously dropped out. So then you're 16, you moved back to Ohio?
Yeah.
And was that because...
We moved back because my mom's boyfriend had a warrant in the county.
Just got to skip town. All right. Yeah. That's fair. And you moved back to Cleveland, I take it?
Yeah. Well, Willoughby, East Lake area. That's where all my family that was still in Ohio is, or still are. Yeah. Now I got, like, my brother owns a house down the street. Everybody's within, like, a mile of each other.
Do you like being that close to your family?
Yeah, for the most part. I'm pretty busy mostly, so that's good. I still don't, that's what I tell them.
I got a podcast to do. Sorry guys. Yeah. I can't hang out for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm writing for a thing. I gotta,
oh, he's so talented. I actually dished out on my Thanksgiving this past year. My mom was like, oh, we're going up to Cleveland. We're going to see the whole family. And I was like, I'd rather just stay home and get Boston Market. She was like, that's really sad. I hope you're all right.
Yeah.
It was a really nice Thanksgiving. It was very quiet and peaceful. I enjoyed it. I'd rather not be around family, honestly. It's cool to see them, like, every once in a while. That's why I don't know if I could handle that, like, microcosm of just living next to everyone that you grew up with.
It's good when you need to borrow $20 on a Wednesday before payday.
That's fair. Just walk down the street.
Yeah, I'll be there in 5. I need a 20.
When did your interest for comedy spark?
I was doing a podcast for a year or two there with a guy that I was writing a comic book with.
Oh, really?
And something about it, just the idea, and I'd been in or tried to be in bands when I was younger and stuff.
What instrument do you play?
I barely play guitar.
Okay.
It was more about just being in a band.
Yeah, totally.
And meth, of course.
You played very fast and badly, but we thought it sounded rad.
Right.
Super metal. What kind of music were you guys playing, or trying to?
We were all, it was like the grunge era.
So Nirvana?
Yeah.
Just guys screwing up mosquitoes and shit. Damn.
Basically just meth, playing so Come totally, As You Are over totally and over.
Like picturing Buck Cherry, but... Nirvana's cool too.
No, well, in Georgia, it all kind of bleeds together. Like any, like there's not a metal or punk, like it's all one sort of small group of people that play instruments and like everything.
Okay, wait, so you weren't like everyone was playing bluegrass, because that's what I would assume from where you said that you were at. You're not like in a city area.
No, it was, I had a group of friends that were all into meth and partying and stuff all the time, and it was like the grunge thing, but it wasn't a big enough area for like to have a separate punk or metal or
different scenes. So anyone that played music and did meth were all playing shows together.
Yeah, there were no like we didn't get along with rednecks.
Oh, okay.
What we called them.
Nice.
It's really like the Grotto, like when we were like kids.
Oh yeah, we did, just
it
like
was
just any
punk metal.
Yeah, rock, anyone that can, anyone that like, knew each other and that played an
if
instrument.
You played music, you went there and played it.
Yeah,
yeah. We had a very contentious. thing with most of the people in the town, because they and we sort of leaned into it, but they thought we were all devil worshippers and all this shit, so we would throw goat horns up at them and get our asses beat and beer bottles thrown at us.
Oh, nice. That's a Christian way. They're like, why
we
don't you
had,
love Jesus? Fling.
Literally, this one guy, a football player, a jock, came to our table with these religious, or at our lunch table in high school with these religious pamphlets, and threw them all down on the table and was like, meet us at Dixie, which was this just field where people went like mudslinging in their trucks and stuff, but it was also where you would meet people to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the bad video.
Yeah.
Wait, so he was trying to educate you on Christianity, but also fight you?
Yeah.
Well, very much like Batman, beat the justice into
that's
him, you
the
know?
Christian way. Yeah.
You need to find God and beat your ass.
And these five fingers, motherfucker.
We would show up at the field and snap at each other and... all lined up on one side in cowboy hats and wallet chains on the other side.
You know the first line of that song is "Your butt is mine"?
I swear to God.
That's insane. I just found that out. The Bad by Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah, "Your butt is mine." That's why it makes more sense now. The Weird Al cover of it, Fat.
Oh, I thought you were butt is wide. Talk about, never mind.
Go ahead.
The child, never mind.
Okay. Yeah, good call. nice recant. So how did the Battles of the Mud Pit go with the Christians? It sounds like a really poor gladiator scene.
Yeah, I to be honest, I would never show up.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't...
Those Christians hit hard.
Yeah.
Their God got like, nailed guys... to a cross. They're into this shit. Yeah.
You guys go brawl. I'm going to fuck off and do some more math.
I'm going to write 4 new songs tonight.
Yeah. I went to one fight in high school, and it was like 90 fucking people gathering at one spot. And then just standing there and yelling at each other about to fight. And then one person was like, "Oh, the cops are coming." And everybody got in their cars and drove away. And I just imagine from then on, it was like every fight was like that. Like people would just get all worked up, like we're about to fight. And then somebody would be like, "The cops are coming." Like, "Oh, yeah. Shit. Like, let's go."
I went to Akron Public Schools. The fights happened.
Yeah. Did you guys have a central meeting place?
There was. It was like down the... There was. We had a thing called the bowl, which was like where the track was. So people would go down there because you couldn't see it from the school.
Right.
And then people would go like down the street on the corner. Like there was a business that was torn down. It was just an empty lot. People would go there too.
Davenport was the Ellet thing. Or Lions Park. I've seen a couple fights in Lions Park. Right down by Hire.
Oh, yeah. That's wild. Yeah, I went to Christian school, so they weren't. We already had the pamphlets.
So you were the Jesus fighter.
We were trolling the public schools, throwing pamphlets at people. I'm like fucking like 105 pounds.
Meet me at Davenport
in eighth grade. If I threw a pamphlet, somebody would probably hit me and I'd fall over. But you mentioned writing a comic book.
Yeah.
So what year was that?
2008.
Okay.
The guy that...
Let's place an age real quick. How old are you?
36.
Okay, right on.
The guy that I was doing that with actually passed away. Well, he died at work.
Oh, wow.
About a year and a half ago. But it was a book that we kind of worked on off and on for 10 years.
Wow, what was the premise?
It was called Steampunk Lincoln.
Okay.
And it was just the Civil War, but with steampunk.
What made you want to write
casting Lincoln as the hero?
Okay, so were you like really angry at like a Lincoln Vampire Hunter? You're like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, because we were before that. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, we would have worked a little harder. Steampunk Lincoln would have been in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started it, and we both were kind of had like went through divorces and shit in between. Gotcha. And. Never got around to it, and then he texted me 3 pages that he'd finally been able to sit down and draw, and then he died the next morning.
Oh, man. You're like, we're making headway.
Yeah.
Fuck, that sucks. So he was the artist, and you were the writer?
Yeah.
Or you guys collaborate writing, too?
We kind of plotted together, and I wrote the scripts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how do you view writing like characters? Like, how do you write a character?
Oh, man,
because that's one of the things, because I've thought about writing comics, and I'm like, I don't know if I could dive into the psyche of another thing or character and then, like, write their voice and have that be separate from anything else that I write. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I have my own voice, obviously. I'm using it now.
Yeah.
Here it is. Here's an example.
Yeah. Example.
I don't really have a good answer. I'm actually getting back
into... I'm just
into,
creative.
I'm not you, so it works better.
I'm just not dumb. Look, Chris Clem's Cavs cast. I did it.
When we started it, I was 23 or something.
Yeah.
So I probably didn't really think about that as much. But I'm actually trying to put that hat back on for something that I'm working on for next year. I'm not supposed to
talk about it.
Yeah.
Secret project.
Yeah, I tell people I'm working on things and then I quit.
Oh, nice.
And I
You're
don't
like the opposite of Kevin Smith. You're like, we're doing this, and then it never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right on. That makes sense.
So,
I've tried writing a comic. It's not easy.
What kind of comics are you into?
DC mostly. I don't get into like a rivalry with. Yeah, I like Marvel stuff too. Yeah.
What's your favorite book? When did you start reading?
Actually? It's usually Batman.
Okay.
When did I learn how to read? Or
thank you.
I'll wear my asshole hat now. No.
No, like when did you start reading comics?
Young age, or did you probably pick it up? Five.
Holy
four
shit!
Or five. I found where we lived at. We had a shared basement.
So you're born in 81?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were back in like before even like the modern age came about, right? Like yeah. Right on the teetering of it?
Kinda, yeah. Where we lived, there was a shared basement, and I snuck over into the neighbors, and I would look through their stuff when I was like five.
Nice.
And I found comic books in there. And it was like Superman, and yeah, it was probably even older stuff than would have been.
It's like silver
current at the time.
Golden, yeah.
Yeah.
But you read Batman now. How'd you feel about the new 52? Sean's so stoked on this segment right now. Sean's like, why aren't they talking about wrestling? How does it feel?
Yeah, he kind of likes Batman.
Yeah, he does like Batman, yeah. So please, Batman. New 52, no, go ahead.
No, all New 52 is good. They're not even doing New 52 anymore, right?
Yeah, I know they did Rebirth, and then they went back to the original number issue of them. All the issues that they were doing. So Batman's back up to like 900 something.
Yeah, it's kind of still New 52, but they're like adding it's somebody fucked with time or something.
That was Rebirth, right?
Yeah, something like that. So it is and isn't the same universe or the New 52 one. I thought it was a good idea. I mean,
New 52 was an awesome idea. Are you talking about Rebirth or New 52?
New 52.
Yeah, that was fucking great because they're like, hey, everyone that doesn't really know anything about comics, here you go. Issue 1. And then Marvel was like, how about Marvel now? Oh, we'll call it Issue 1, but it won't be.
And everything they were putting out was fucking great.
Yeah, also,
New 52 is great.
What was your favorite New 52 comic?
Justice League.
Oh, really?
I don't usually can't afford to read too much. So I'm into team books mostly. So I get all the characters. All the characters in one thing.
Yeah. Oh shit, Martian Manhunter's in
very
this.
Very economic.
This is sick.
Economic habit I picked up from like being a poor kid. And
so mom, Avengers and Justice League, that's all I asked for.
Yeah.
Comics I kept up with like everything until I couldn't download them online anymore.
Yeah,
I about to say Bob could give you probably like 100 gigs worth of the New 52 if you'd like.
All of it up until like a year ago, maybe. Or
yeah,
two
almost
years.
Almost until have. Rebirth happened. But yeah, the Batman
right
issues.
Right when it happened, kind of.
Yeah, the Batman issues I thought were great. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Yeah, the Court of Owls and
yeah, that stuff
all
was awesome.
New, yeah,
Swamp Thing I really dug too. Swamp Thing was really cool. I don't know if you got into that, but Swamp Thing and Animal Man and then like Dark Justice League, those were all really solid books.
Those are all kind of tied together.
Right? Well, you're like, I used to read manga.
Isn't that backwards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, it's pretty
so
cool.
So confusing.
What, manga?
Backwards.
Ah.
Yeah, it's different. Once you get the hang of it, though, it's just different.
What mangas were you reading?
They read from
like
front
Naruto,
to back, like
One
lunatics.
Piece. Yeah. it judgments. Changes up the story totally.
Yeah, you're reading it, you're like, this is like a fucking prequel now.
He was just born? I thought he was alive.
It's like Benjamin Button.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, that was my thing. I got into some comics. There used to be a comic shop over on in Eastgate Plaza.
Yeah.
And they had like just some rare stuff. They had like Deadshot was one. That's one I really got into. I had like every series of that. I don't know why it just drug me in because it was like so gory. It was just like this big ass buff dude that would get shot and then he would shoot people in the head and like yeah, that was super cool.
You should write comic reviews.
For real. Never got into superheroes, but
no,
one was
that's
like,
why I love Image. I was about to say because it goes so beyond superheroes. They do like literally everything else.
Hell yeah.
Walking Dead came from there.
Yeah. Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth is awesome.
Fucking. I don't know if Lock and Key is Image, but that seems like something that would be on.
Dude, that or Dark Horse or Vertigo. One
yeah, it might
three.
Be.
Invincible was Image, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Invincible is very good.
Is that also Kirkman?
Yeah.
Yeah, and is that still going too?
I don't know.
Cause I feel like it is, and like it's just I can't believe. Well, I know it was up until like a year or two ago, and it's just crazy that he's doing Walking Dead, making the show. And doing Invincible and still doing other shit too. Like,
That dude's a busy cat. But
Invincible and Walking Dead are very consistent.
And he was on At Midnight. It's weird to see him like in person and like his comedy. It's way dark. Like people are like, haha, okay, Walking Dead guy. I like your characters, not your humor. But Mark Miller. Are you familiar with Kick-Ass and like Kingsman? Yeah. It was said that 80% of his IPs are already bought by movie companies, and Netflix bought the last 20% and then gave him a deal to just write for them now. That dude, like, literally, like, almost all of the shit that he writes is just already being made other different ways and shit.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having all that money? It's crazy.
Yeah, it seems like that's almost the goal more than just writing comics anymore.
Well, yeah, you dip your toe in the comic, and then people are like, I want to make that a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up this issue called Bedlam. This guy was like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be an awesome comic. I'm like, all right, give me the first four first prints. It's going to be worth so much. It's going to be the next Walking Dead. Fucking nothing. You've never even heard of it, obviously.
I was going to say, Mark Miller's like, shit is just very like movie-esque anyway. Didn't he do Wanted also?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, like, Wanted, Kick-Ass, and Kingsman are the three movies
and that everything he has out I've right now. Also read from him beyond that is just seems like a movie. It's just like it's slow-moving and long and not like super slow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good pacing.
Yeah,
good pacing.
A lot of that stuff has the benefit of not being like, you know, 70 years of publication.
Yeah.
Like the superhero movies, because it's all middle story. And
that is true. You have the origin, and then it's middle story, and then there's no third act, because the hero usually never dies unless it's Batman v Superman. And then
they
just keep
regurgitating the origin and middle story. They never get, a movie or a TV show never gets to the later shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or if it does, people hate the ending. Like, you look at Sopranos, you're like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Always. That's how it was for me with, like, video games. Like, Mass Effect. Did you ever play that game?
No.
Mass Effect's ending was awful. The third one, oh my god, it sucks so bad. And everyone hated it. Everyone wanted an alternate ending, and BioWare was like, nah, we're not gonna do that. Which is respectable.
I think, like, it's because, like, you invest so much time in the characters, and you have a way that you see it already going, that if it doesn't go that way, or a way that you didn't see coming that was cool, then you just get angry at
it. Yeah, I totally did. Because you can transfer your first game to your third game, and, like, progress through all of them, and I was so pissed at
you. Favorite ending of any story you've ever read?
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
The Dark Knight?
Really? The movie?
I think as far as comics go, Watchmen's the ending of Watchmen is pretty great.
The fucking weird alien brain that's like sending pictures of like Hitler and the Holocaust into people's brain? Are you talking about the comic or the movie?
The comic.
Okay, yeah.
Just with him killing Rorschach and leaving everything, and then they leave that that journal for the press.
Yeah.
At the end of it. And then it's kind of, oh, what's going to happen? And then they came back later, and they're like, well, all this other shit. That's what Rebirth is. There's something to do with those characters.
But yeah, because they did the after Watchmen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or before Watchmen, my bad.
Chris, do you guys think when a TV show or comic book brings back a dead character, does it ruin the story where they died?
Yeah, because it takes away all the fucking like actual like part of him dying. It takes away the weight of it. To me.
Not if it's a valuable one to me. If it's one I really liked, then I'm like, oh, come on, he died? What the fuck?
Well, I mean, okay, so in the BVS, fucking Superman dies. Spoilers. Superman dies at the end. I mean, does he not come back?
How does Batman get kryptonite?
It's a very convoluted story. Yeah, storyline. But fucking, like, he's going to come back in Justice League, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, like that. I feel like it takes away the whole validity. The reason why death matters in those type of things is because you care for the character. Then bringing him back means that it doesn't matter anyway. So you can kill off anyone. You know they're going to be brought back in 2 issues, 100 issues, whatever. You're going to see him again. They're not gone forever.
Like if it weren't as if it weren't overused, it would be fine.
Yeah, definitely. If like it was only Superman that came back, then sure. But yeah. I mean, like.
But
it's
pretty much any character where they...
You know, anyone, yeah.
Anything they can license, they're going to bring back.
Yeah, how do we make more money off this? Oh, raise him from the dead.
This isn't really related to the superheroes, but I thought Harry Potter did a good job with killing off, like, important characters, but still keeping, like, the main roles alive. Like, Harry's uncle, you just find out he's his uncle, you're like, oh my god, they're going to start a family, it's crazy.
Oh, Sirius Black?
Yeah.
Well, and then he stayed dead. Same with Dumbledore. Right. I mean, so there's validity to that happening. Like, there was, like there was weight to it. Like, you didn't have, like, oh, he's going to come back. I mean, you saw him in the train
section.
But
comics go on forever, the story never stops. And half the time when they kill off people, they end up replacing them with characters that are really lame.
Yeah, that take over the
the mantle. It's like almost identity. Better when they come up with some bullshit excuse to bring a character.
You know,
it was back,
a good one. Bruce Wayne dies in Batman RIP, and then Dick Grayson takes over for him, and then Damian becomes Robin. It's called Batman and Robin, I think.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. That's Dick Grayson as Batman and Damian as Robin is my favorite version of Batman.
That's some awesome shit right there.
That Grant Morrison.
Yes, Grant Morrison, yeah. He did Batman RIP as well.
I really like the New 52, how Batman died and how Gordon took over. Well, he didn't. He died.
The bunny-eared Batman.
And then you thought Bruce Wayne was dead, but then you found him like 3 issues later.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I didn't catch any of that.
One of my favorite endings to a movie or anything was The Mist. I really enjoyed that one. I don't know if you've seen that. Stephen King.
I haven't.
It's like this like dementia, like this mist comes to town. They're all stuck in a fucking grocery store. And then they can't go out. There's all these monsters attacking from a different dimension. And at the end of the movie, he's like, fuck it, we're going to bail. We're going to go for the car. He has a son, three people and himself. He has 4 bullets. So they get to this part, they're out of gas, they're just stuck in the mist, and he kills all of them, including his son, and then he goes out to be killed by the monsters, and then the fucking, the army comes. And they're like, we're saving the day, don't worry.
Oh, holy shit.
Fucked up, dude. It's the most insane ending ever. It sucks that I just spoiled it, but whatever.
No fucking
way. Yeah, no, it's pretty insane.
Aren't one of the, Day of the Dead, one of the the Romero zombie movies have a similar thing where they're all trying to survive and most of them die and then the army shows up in the end and
was that Dawn of the Dead?
Is it
Land of the Dead?
Is it
that, I think it was Land of the Dead one? Where they're like the zombies can like learn and shit.
Yeah.
That one's good. I like that one.
It's like fucking Hulk talking. All right, so anyways,
John Leguizamo.
Plays the clown in Spawn. No. All right, so you were writing this comic. Were you doing comedy then as well?
No, I started doing comedy. We did the podcast called The Idiot Box Cult for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And it just got to be like we couldn't schedule it anymore. And I wanted to do something that that I didn't need anyone else to show up for. So I got into stand-up.
Okay, so yeah, you're so like, I don't need a team. I'll just rely on myself.
Yeah, I can just show up every night and work on stuff.
Did you start going out to like all the open mics? Were you doing like 5 nights a week, 2 nights a week?
Yeah, right away. It took like 6 weeks to kind of figure out where everything was at, where I could
mics themselves,
so I could get up every night. And
so you didn't like know anyone that had a foot in the door already that were like, oh yeah, come here, hit the spot.
No, I met a comic at the first mic I did was a poetry slam.
Nice.
Mic where they'd let me go up and tell jokes.
Now, did anyone else tell jokes that night?
There was one other guy, a comic named Derek Muhammad.
Okay.
This was in Columbus, and he kind of told me where some of the other shows were.
Oh, right on. So you were living in Columbus at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then once I figured it out, I was out every night for weeks on end, and I would take like a day or two off and for probably 2.5 years.
Jeez.
Just nonstop.
That's a lot of grinding. Now, when you like approached the writing of the jokes and stuff, did that come from the place of writing the comic and stuff like that? Or did that come from a place of the podcast? Like, how did you start to like get your brain down on paper and know what would make an audience laugh instead of like conversationally?
It was the podcast that made me think I was funny enough to try it. I don't really know. At first, it was like tweets. I would tell like one-liners and stuff like that. Okay. So I would just sit down and write and
on Twitter
think of stuff. Yeah, on Twitter a lot, or just then later I started writing more on the computer and now I just kind of have like an idea and I'll write a couple of words down and go up and just figure out.
So you just flesh it out on stage, preparation. You're just like, I think I'm going to go with this. You have like a little bit of like a direction, but you don't have it like mapped out to a T.
Yeah, I have. I I have enough of an idea that I can say it all. Like I kind of have the words and stuff, but I'll you add stuff
like tags and shit like that, or segues or something like that that makes it better. Beats.
Keep telling it over and over, and something new will pop up. And
now, do you get the frustration of like going to like the same open mics in Columbus where you're seeing the same people every night and like the crowds weren't changing, so it was like almost hard to work on the routine because you weren't really sure what was getting a response or not? Or was it made it better because you had that challenge of trying to get them to laugh because they've already heard it?
Yeah, I mean, the crowds change enough. Like every open mic almost has its own scene around it.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, people that will just do certain ones or and there's always new you know, other like people that are not comics. Sometimes they don't show up, but it's just comics. But even then, there's something to I think that there's still something to learn just from the muscle memory of saying the jokes
in front of people.
Yeah,
or, especially with like the whole backdrop of like they're not going to laugh at this. They've heard it four times in the past month.
Yeah, or you could also be surprised at how many people are not listening the first three times.
Oh,
they might catch something. We do. Comics are assholes. We're not, not that supportive of each other.
Yeah. I mean, you get that in any like type of like music situation too. Like, I mean, you go to see the same band four or five times. Like, you'll go outside and smoke a cigarette and talk to your friends while they're playing. It sucks because you should be like in there, you know, giving it your all. But
yeah, the first couple of years, the people that I started with, I was way more aware of their material and what they were doing, and you know, kind of making suggestions to each other and and stuff like that. But when I moved to Cleveland, I mostly kept to myself for a while. And now I just don't write like that anymore. So it's it's not the same.
So you moved to Cleveland from Georgia, then you moved down to Columbus.
Yeah.
And so what brought you to Columbus?
I had a wife, pregnant wife at the time, and I got a promotion at work.
Oh, nice.
To move down to Columbus.
What were you doing as a job?
Land surveying.
Okay.
Actually, I still work for the same company. I'm just up here now.
So. Oh, cool. So is that where you like have like the little like eyeball thing and you look across the street at some other dude?
I have one of those.
I honestly, I was like, how do they? Like, you pay for school for this?
Layman's terms, nice.
Yeah, the easiest version is I measure houses mostly for mortgage companies.
Yeah. Measure how like the tall, width, and all that shit.
Street? It's
feet.
Officially described as where everything's located within the property.
Okay.
So you find property lines and figure out how far the buildings are from them and check for fences. It's really boring.
I mean, honestly, like, we deliver pizza. He sells jewelry.
Yes, I mean.
You're like, that's not what I do. But then you're like, yeah, well, that's cool, yeah.
I supervise the people selling the jewelry.
Oh, my bad, dude. I'm going to take that away from you.
You'll hawk that silver.
I don't want Mr. Penny on my ass. Get a camera.
And he pulls out one of those little things that he looks through to look at something.
The magnifying glass.
Yeah, I was just trying to make it sound more like what you said.
Oh, right on, yeah. So you, like, look at diamonds, right?
I do. Yeah, assess their property value. So this is fake. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Cubic zirconium.
24-carat.
So, yeah, no, it's interesting to me because I've never met a person that's I've seen people survey, like, a bunch of shit because I'm always like, oh, he's looking at that dude that's over there. I just never knew, like, what they actually did. So it's not that boring. It's all right. Is the job fulfilling?
If they have those guns and the guys that they're looking at on the other side, those are usually like bigger construction or the state's gonna, you know, looking at widening a road or something.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, you're right. You would know. I wouldn't. I'm like, I don't know if I believe you. Maybe.
Seen a guy looking at a guy.
Yeah. Some dude using a telescope that was way little.
He's looking down instead of up.
Yeah. The stars are up there, asshole. Threw a pamphlet at me. You met at the mud pit.
You threw one back.
Yeah, it's astrology.
You'd be at the mud pit.
Fucking no using telescope, motherfucker.
Just fighting over how many planets there are and shit.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a microscope.
He's like, Pluto's not one. Like, maybe use a telescope, right? But you could see.
There's 13 now.
Is there really?
I don't know.
Okay, I think there's...
Maybe, probably. I know.
Is this Bob's news?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about news this week. Fuck every news story.
Yeah, there's a lot of horrible, horrible things going on.
Shitty things, shitty president, not... doing anything about it.
I have seen a lot of good memes about the citronella candle, though, so that's a day
brightener. He's doing something about it. He's telling everybody not to beat up Nazis. It's equally evil as being a Nazi.
He's telling everyone to accept the Nazis.
If I see a Nazi, I'm punching a Nazi. Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, Captain
America.
American Slim.
Yeah. I think that's making America great again, is they want it to be more like it was in the old days. Well, in the old days, you fucking ran your mouth. You got punched in it.
Yeah.
That's how we should deal with
corporal
Nazis.
Punishment should be brought back. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Honestly, yeah, it's wild. All right, so you're in Columbus. You have the wife, and then you're there for how long?
I was there for 10 years. The wife was there for maybe a year.
Oh, so you settled down?
Yeah, we got divorced almost right away. We're just young, and she's a cunt.
Ah.
Just an awful person.
Happens.
But yeah, then it was just...
Did a lot of your material derive from that? Was that how you dealt with the situation?
There was some stuff, but that wasn't going on as much anymore by the time I started comedy.
So this was later on after
the divorce and everything. Yeah. I've been living with someone else for about 10 years now.
I had more jokes about that. You're not very oh man, everybody loves Raymond. Like, I don't he was that kind of comic.
Yeah, I don't, because I feel like that's
he does live pretty close to his family.
Oh yeah. Your grandma's always coming over.
Oh, there's some real characters there.
I like how she calls you Raymond. You're like, damn it. Can I have $20?
Oh, my mother-in-law.
Yeah, I don't. One day I'm gonna work with Dennis Leary. Yeah.
I'm trying really hard to be a dad that's not a dad comic.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Who did we just go see, Josie?
Brian, what was his name? Shit.
Regan?
No.
Bert
Kreischer.
Bert Kreischer. And his is all family shit. It's funny, but it's all family shit. I mean, like, I can't believe there's not a sitcom about that dude with that dude in it. Like, I can't believe he's not the next, like, King of Queens.
That's really... I've never seen his act. I've just heard him on a lot of podcasts.
Okay.
And it's like, I know who he is.
You don't need to see his act if you've heard him on podcasts.
Yeah.
Is he... I always think of him doing, like, beer stories and...
He has a few of those, but those are the ones that he tells. The family ones are the ones I didn't hear on the radio, but every other story I heard on the radio.
I'm surprised that he does that.
Yeah, he does a lot about his kids, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a huge chunk of the show which is just about his daughter that, like, leaves him on a jet ski and shit like that.
I
like how you start laughing, you're like, oh, that jet ski.
That was a zinger.
Oh, dang, we laughed hard.
That's a lot of, like, Comedy Central shit.
How do you mean?
Nowadays. Like, it's all kind of, like, not at all, but... There's a lot of comics on that I see specials for, especially like I mean it's been years, but when I got Netflix and it had every Comedy Central Presents on there, and I went through all of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were just people telling, like, family, like, oh, I have a family, my wife, my kids, that type of jokes. Like,
yeah, my wife, she's so unbearable. My kids are such assholes. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that comes from a place of, like,
not
we're trying to relate to, like,
not
the common
necessarily
people.
Like talking shit about those things, even, but just being like,
oh, my kids get into, my kids do sports, so, like, I have a sports joke about my kids doing sports. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, everything revolves, that they tell, revolves around their wife or their kids.
But they're playing to their audience, I feel like. Like, people my age aren't necessarily listening to that. They're listening to, like, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle type shit.
And not all comics have families and kids, I guess. So, yeah, I guess it depends on, like, what, who you're going to see. And
I think a lot of that's also that it's autobiographical, mm-hmm. whether it's about their family or not, for the most part, because it's just easier to avoid accidentally doing something somebody else has already done. If it's like a topic that everybody's talked about.
If you're telling your story, no one can really get
right. If it's the more personal it is, the easier it is to be original.
Now, you don't really write that much, though, like your personal experiences.
I have been more.
When I've seen you seem to be more social commentary than anything. Which would probably be hard, is what you're talking about, like to where like you might step on a joke that you didn't even know existed.
Right.
Especially with the fucking internet, because everyone's making the same joke no matter what.
Yeah, that's a hard. I sometimes if I want to tweet something I think is funny, I'll Google the thing,
the phrase,
especially to make sure that you know 40 other comics haven't already thought of the same thing.
Damn it!
This makes me always think of the story that when I the first time I saw Willis Gordon do stand up, he talked about the Bill Cosby rape stuff.
Like, oh, I bet it was fun.
And then literally the next morning when I woke up, it was trending online from Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I just heard this, like...
Hannibal had the fucking Stone Tavern tapped.
No, I was just like... hold on. I was like, well, if Willis had the same audience that Hannibal's got, he would have got the same fucking, like,
response.
Because he had that joke first, like... And it was just weird. Like, I was just like, it's just hard to, like...
I feel like
be topical, especially in...
I had no idea that was a thing until, it kind of went viral with Hannibal Buress.
Yeah, and before I even heard anything about it from Hannibal, I heard Willis talk about it.
Yeah.
Which was, like, it blew my mind. And it was, like, 2 days later. It was crazy.
But that's, like, that kind of, like, we think we live in such, like, a small microcosm, but, like, everyone has, the same jokes all exist. It's just whether you're quick enough to grab it and send it out into the ether and people grab onto it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean,
all the jokes are already written. It's like the same thing with guitar, like musicians are like, all the riffs have already been written. It's like, can you make it a little bit different, or like, can you like grab it out of the air? It already exists technically.
Yeah, I see a lot of specials from people that have been doing comedy 20, 30 years that are like, I think maybe sort of isolated from any kind of open mic scenes, and they'll have material that I've heard a dozen people do at open, you know. Hit on the same kind of stuff and it's really easy to like parallel thinking, like I think it happens way more than
people actually think it does.
Stealing.
And then people are like, they stole it. It's like, well, I mean, they might have actually just thought of that and I didn't tell you. But we also come from the time of like Robin Williams was stealing jokes and shit like that, you know. So like people obviously like think the worst of the situation instead of thinking like, well, maybe they just thought the same thing and that's why it's so close.
I think 8 out of 10 times, if somebody you've never heard of is like, that person stole my joke, they're just not as original as they think they are.
That's awesome. That's actually a really good way to think
like,
about that.
No, your joke just sucks.
Yeah. No, your joke's just like low-hanging fruit, dude. Yeah. All right, so you're in Columbus. You were doing it for a couple years there, and then you come up to Cleveland. You're a loner. You don't know anybody here. Except for your family.
No, I knew... I knew Shear and Ryan. I'd done shows up in Cleveland a few times.
Oh, so you traveled from Columbus up here?
Yeah, I'd been back and forth for probably a good year before I moved. And then I took 6 months off when I moved to... I got into a custody dispute. I had to bring my kids to my house.
Okay.
Which there's still... It's kind of closed, but it's still... I don't want to...
Oh, you're good, yeah. Don't worry about it.
I'll just reiterate, awful person.
Yes, gotcha.
But...
So you came up to Cleveland, and then I'm assuming Sheer got you into like a couple places. Same with Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's a lot of just open mics. A lot of stuff you can do in Cleveland is you just have to email like Bill Squire to do his barrio, or the Accidental folks too are pretty easy to work with. Yeah, I don't do hilarities very much or anything like that yet, but
right. So yeah, I saw you. We were supposed to we were supposed to have you on a couple weeks ago, like 3-4 might have been longer. And then you had a dispute where you didn't get paid.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to hear that story real quick, cuz I read a paraphrased version of it and a lot of comments following it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear your story of it.
I got hired through a gig website to perform at a convention for something called the Emblems Club. And they asked me in the first round of messages, well, what would you say that your act is rated?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's like pretty hard R.
Okay.
And I'm kind of a liberal blowhard. And they were like, that's great. Sounds fine. And right. I was like, okay, cool. And then I showed up. That was booked like weeks or months ahead. But then when I got there, it was at a country club in Youngstown.
Oh.
And it turns out the Emblems Club is, you know, there's like the Order of the Buffalo or like the Freemasons, maybe to a lesser degree. That's more.
Yeah,
of a,
I got you.
Yeah.
Andrew Ness.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's nodding. Sorry, his uncle as well.
You ever play Mass Effect?
I gotta speak.
It's the wives of those guys have their own club.
Oh.
The Stars.
Yeah.
Or the wives of Freemasons. Women aren't allowed to be Freemasons.
Oh, so they're called the Stars?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, all these lodges have their own version of that, where the wives have their own separate club. And this was the women's club. And the median age was probably 65.
Not bad. Young. Spry. Yeah. Definitely going to get your humor.
But I
so you walk in, what's your thought?
So they're expecting Bob Hope, and they get you.
Yeah, they
Hard R, super liberal Bob Hope walks in. It's Chris Waugh. So wait, you walk into the place and you're like looking at the audience. You're like, "Fuck me! Like, what am I gonna do?"
Yeah, I knew right away. Okay. Like, this is gonna be bad.
This is not gonna fly.
You do your normal set.
I did. I have maybe 15-20 minutes where it's. Like, most people can go along with it, and then things take a turn, which is kind of designed that way to, like, you know, you want people to like you up front, and then you lead them to kind of a more disturbing path.
Right.
But they did not go with me on that path.
Were they with you for the first, were they with you for the first 10, 15 minutes of it?
Yeah, it went okay.
So you're like, fuck yeah, these 65-year-old people, fucking birds are killing them.
No, I was like, I'm running out of shit that they're going to want to hear.
Oh, so you're like, the disturbing turn is coming up and I can't stop myself from taking it.
Yeah, I was very stressed about the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it
the first joke of the disturbing part of it, where they like, ha, like, did the laughter start to die down a little bit, but, like, they're still laughing, or was it just a...
turkey stop.
Yeah, just everyone was like, fuck him.
I'm trying to think, because there was definitely a moment where it turned. I said, so there was an election last year, and I heard a lady slap the table.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, she was thinking, oh, fuck, where is this mother, you know?
Oh, a Trump hater.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't that, but it was close enough to that they were not on board anymore.
Gotcha.
I have, like, I think it was like a pro gay marriage joke in there, and I completely lost them.
Whoa, really?
For the remaining 15 to 20 minutes.
That's insane because, like, my mom's, like, close to, like, 60s. And even she and Christian send us to private school and shit like that.
Yeah.
Even she would like laugh at it. Like, I mean, she gets that she shouldn't hate gay people, even though the Bible says so.
Right. At least
that
kind of
blows my mind. Like 8 years later, like or 8 years before that, people are like, "Yeah, fuck them." Still.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was yeah, and then that kind of made me mad at them on top of being stressed about the whole situation. Oh. And I
started doing some crowd work.
Yeah, I called.
What do you do for a living?
Yeah. Hey, blue hair.
Yeah, there was one table that looked large? Younger.
Where did you get that jewelry?
Some guy looks slim.
They had all the younger looking people at one table. And I called it the kids' table. Because like even they were like 40, 50
years old. That's awesome.
And I said something about the gold, being a Golden Girls convention. It was not very creative. I was just angry.
Yeah.
And it just kind of went, and I, well, thanks. And
thanks, I'm Chris
off.
Paul.
And
I'm
they,
fucking off now.
Yeah. And the lady that hired me wouldn't even come over and talk to me. She sent her friend over to handle it.
Holy shit.
And they started with trying to haggle, like, well, are you willing to work with us? And I said, no, I, you know, it's not just the show. I had to drive out here. It's like a time issue. Like,
right.
This is what we agreed on.
You agreed on a payment. You should get paid for
it. I told her what it was rated, like. She, you know,
did you do your full set? Like, did you do the whole like time allotted thing?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to do like 45, and I did 35.
Did they throw that in your face?
No, because I think it felt like an hour and a half to them. they didn't even notice that it was short.
He went over.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time I left, they were like, "Oh my god, when is he gonna leave?"
I feel like people should know who they're hiring when they hire somebody. Like,
yeah, well, that's the thing, is the page that they hired me on, there's video and audio and like a whole bio that, you know, that, like, if she had taken 10 minutes to watch, you know, anything or really research who she was hiring, she would have not hired me.
Right.
But, yeah, and then they didn't want to pay me. They wanted me to make some like an invoice and mail it to them, and then they were gonna mail me back a check supposedly. And then they wrote a check, but they wouldn't put my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up. They put the
shitty
name of the
comic.
He ended up forging it.
Yeah, paid to the order of fuckhole. Yeah,
that's usually how I sign things.
Fuckhole paw.
Yeah.
That's how you sign things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuckhole Paul. You have similar signatures. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I ended up leaving without the money, and I sent him the invoice, yeah. And she wrote me back about how it was awful, and that she's not going to pay me.
I read the email. She was pretty... you were also forward as well.
Yeah, I was not nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Even she like wasn't professional.
Yeah, I... because I had spent the weekend stewing over it already.
Yeah.
By the time she sent me that nasty email, I was like, okay, the gloves are off. Yeah, and I called their group a bunch of rich white cunts.
Yeah, I assume that. Yeah. Like, reading, like, the Facebook posts and, like, the comments and stuff like that, I'm like, I feel like the C word got tossed around a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a go-to.
Yeah,
I want to read it.
So, did you ever get paid? Was that not?
She eventually paid me. And,
holy shit! In full?
Yeah.
Oh, and wow!
Apologized. Sick. That it got out of hand and that kind of thing. I think it was when she saw that the video had like 120 views already, because she had blocked me on Facebook, and then I was unblocked, and I knew that she had seen all the posts and like. Like another 30 comics chiming in to shit on her.
Yeah.
And
she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it was a real pile on.
Wow.
Yeah, if that were all about me, I would not want to, you know, I would not want to read it.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so you, that's wild. I'm trying to think of a time that we didn't get paid. There's been times when, like, we've had to, like, kind of strong arm people, like, hey, you told us you were going to give us this much, at least give us gas money. But, yeah. Like, it's never been in that type of situation to where we get sent over, like, another person, and then we have email contact back and forth and stuff like
yeah.
that. Actually, no, never mind. There was one time. Yeah, it was in Pennsylvania at a place that we played all the time. This kid was throwing his birthday party, and he was like, yeah, I'll pay you guys for sure.
You guys then, do bar mitzvahs too?
Yeah.
Is this the one that Sean like left?
No. But we got paid 4/5 of what we were supposed to get paid because Sean did leave. They said that your whole band didn't show up. There was a male stripper at a fucking graduation party and a Confederate flag. And Sean, we all got there and Sean like walked up and saw the Confederate flag and he's like, fuck this. And left. And this was in like 2007.
Hell yeah.
So before the whole craze of like the Confederate flag. Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
But I played the show. it was a paying gig. Yeah.
And, so no vocalist? You just did a straight...
Our producer actually did the vocals and you knew like half the words and sang badly. Well, screamed badly.
Who was it?
Eric Lute.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I wish we would have saw that.
Yeah, it was a good one. That fucking whole shit. Sean walked like fucking, I think like 9 miles home. He was like, fuck it all. Anyways, this kid was like, yeah, I'll pay you. And then we're like, all right, cool. He's like, and I'll give you pizza. We're like, sweet. He made with the pizza and then I never saw him again. And then I kept hitting him up and hitting him up and hitting him up and he just never hit me back. And he's like, then he started being like, yeah, I'll get you the money. I'll PayPal you. What's your PayPal? I'm like, here it is. And never saw the money. And then years later, I got into a band from Pittsburgh, which is where we were playing at the time. And that kid was coming to the show that the band that I was playing in currently from Pittsburgh. And my bassist was like, yo, Paul's coming to the show and he wants that Under Dead Sky money. This is like 6 years later. Kid ended up not coming.
That's awesome.
And I totally wasn't. But
didn't you get fucked over a few times on money too, in Leota too also? Like from like, maybe TR ended up getting the money.
Oh, yeah. Like, we sent our tapes out. We sent our the MP3s to this dude to press our tapes. Because we're really cool and we wanted cassette tapes. It was more so because like that's an easier thing to hawk than CDs. It's less price and you can give a download code. So you get like a physical copy instead of like a download card. Yeah. People sell those. I think that's so like chintzy. So when I got in the band, they were already doing tapes. We send this dude the money for the tapes and he's like, yeah, I got you. Months go by and like we're about to leave for tour. We're like, we need those fucking tapes, dude. Like, where are they at? And he's like, yeah, dude, I've just been way busy. Like, whatever. And then, like, our bassist was like, yeah, you basically just robbed us. He's like, next time we come to Florida, like, just, like, look out for us and shit. And dude, like, fucking ended up fucking over two other bands from Pittsburgh with the same whole thing, just jacked their money. And then he ended up having to send back all the money to each band and shit like that because TR made a Facebook post. That's a weird thing about the internet is that like, wow. You can shame someone so hard. They're like, yeah. Okay, fine. That's cool. And that's what happened to that lady.
Yeah,
she got shamed so hard, she's like, I'll fucking pay him.
I see that a lot on DIY music pages.
Yeah, definitely.
That's sick.
But yeah, because like they're trying to build a community to where like you can actually get paid and like do your gig. Now,
and then when somebody shits on somebody, the entire fucking community on that the entire DIY up. Community of that gangs up on them.
Yeah, man. And that's what happened with your comedy community. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great thing, but it's also, I don't like it when it's like...
Oh, it's
like,
pitchforks and fucking torches. Yeah. Because like who knows if you were even right in the situation in their eyes? You're like, yeah, fuck her, right?
Not tiki torches, right?
Yeah, right,
hey, guys, both sides were right.
Yeah. Chris Paul doesn't deserve to be punched in the face, neither does she, all right? So don't go hitting anybody.
Although she is a cunt.
All right, so you're also doing like a radio show for a while with Sheer, correct?
That was Steve Murs. Steve Murs, our buddy, has a show on college radio up in
Cleveland. Yeah, then you and Sheer would also like feature on it. Like,
yeah, we were in every week for a little while, and then we weren't.
Okay.
We just kind of, I don't know what happened. It just fizzled out.
Fair enough.
But it turned into the podcast that we do now, which has had 3 different names at this point.
Shout it out. All of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Each name. It started as Ad Hominem Radio because we do the roast battles, which are called the Ad Hominem Attack Show. And then the election happened, and we were talking about politics so much that we changed it to Politics with Chris Paul.
Nice.
For 3 episodes.
I was hoping it was going to be Pontifications.
That's, I'll write that down.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And then I decided that I didn't want to keep up with politics enough to do a podcast centered around politics. Yeah. And now it's just the Ad Hominem Attack Good show.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that also, in that... So the Ad Hominem Attack Show, the roast battle stuff, like that spawned from you, Ryan, and
Sheer.
Okay. Yeah. So, how did that all come together?
It was just an idea. I mean, it already existed, like the format. They have like the original roast battles in California. And I was like, I like that idea. Let's do that ourselves.
I
want to
shit on people. Sheer, are you with me?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And then, well, I grabbed Ryan to be the co-host. And then Sheer was just so into it that he was at every show. So we gave him something to do at every show. And now he just does every show.
Nice.
He does the recap now. He goes up at the very end and roasts everybody that was on stage. Yeah. Which he's thrilled with that position.
He's very good at it, yeah.
A role that was made for him almost.
Yeah.
Honestly. Let the hate flow through you. Also, wasn't media.com.
Yeah.
Or as Andrew says, I hate everything.
It's almost a Chimera song.
Jeremy's he's one of those Jews that hates back.
Fuck, why isn't that their tagline? That's amazing.
Damn.
Oh, that's so good. All right, so so you guys, I mean, just like formed it like how long ago?
The first one was February of 16.
And now you're doing how many times a year does it take place?
It's a monthly show. It's normally the first Saturday of every month. But it gets moved back and forth here and there.
And where does it take place at?
It's at the East End Bistro. There's Bill Squire does a open mic there on Thursdays, and we have that Saturday for the roast battles there.
And I highly recommend looking up the Jeremy Sheer roast. It's fucking awesome. That was right before he was supposed to leave for Colorado, right?
Yeah, when he was gonna leave.
Yeah, that
maybe because we know Jeremy though, but it was true. Incredible. But I mean, like that was like
they were making jokes that I didn't even really like know
Chris
that much
Clem's
about.
Joke was like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was insane. That portion, it's on YouTube. It's fantastic. Look it up. I think if you type in the roast of Jeremy Sheer, correct? And you host that one.
Yeah.
Type in ad hominem.
Jeremy Sheer versus Cleveland.
Learn how to spell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Learn how to spell and type in ad hominem.
All right. You got any Twitter, Facebook, Instagrams?
I'm on Twitter at Cuck Army.
Fuck.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
People are like, that makes sense.
Yeah. I was
if they made it this far.
It was in the heat of the election.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, and
seems timely.
I was really excited that no one had it yet, and now I'm like, man, I wish somebody would have had that already.
Pontifications, try that one.
Yeah.
I was watching you pontificate on Facebook because I read your posts and stuff like that, and there are like you have very, I don't know, it's like, it's satirical, correct? For the most part.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of like The Onion, but like, you're kind of shoving it in the face of like everyone else, correct? That's how I view your posts, at least.
I believe a lot of what I say.
Yeah. You believe it, but you're like making it a satire, and then in the fact of being like, look at you. Like, look what you're saying, and look what I'm saying. I'm being an asshole. Like, don't you understand, like, that's what you're doing too?
Yeah, I think I'm smarter than everyone else.
Not bad.
I think the underlying thing.
It's legit.
Yeah, I get. I hate both sides.
Oh, fair enough.
But not the sides that we're Trump's talking about right now. I'm fond of the Antifa kids that show up with, or the Antifa. I'm not sure how to say it out loud. I mostly just read that word.
I've never even heard what you're talking
about. Anti-fascist.
Okay.
They're the kids show up in ski masks and baseball bats and knock windows out during the RNC. Or not the RNC, but...
I thought you were trying to give them a pound.
They're the people that are...
Oh, yeah. How's you guys going to whip out some ski masks?
Those are the people,
same, bro.
Those are the people that are woke.
Oh,
yeah,
that's why you break windows?
They show up and punch Nazis and...
Yeah, they're just like...
Give them hell.
They punch Nazis.
They're Nazi punchers.
Nazi punchers.
That's your new Twitter handle. Nazi puncher.
I read something earlier that was talking about how we need to stop calling them Nazis because they're not, because they support Nazi ideology, but they're Americans. And we need to start acknowledging that they are Americans and like figure out what is wrong
because they grew up in normal American families, and they are supporting this Nazi ideology.
Right. So you think they need a different name?
Well, no. I mean, I just feel like a lot of people are like, oh, fuck these Nazis, fuck Nazis, blah, blah, blah. But these are Americans that are, like, we need to figure out why they are supporting this and change what we are doing as a country to stop people from growing up and feeling this way.
I think those are just fucked up people, and that's the perfect excuse for them to act like assholes.
I don't think it has
anything to do with their beliefs. I think it's just an excuse to be an asshole.
I agree.
Yeah, because the real Nazis were also socialist, and these people are... you know, more pro-capitalism and shit like that.
But also we need to acknowledge that these people are coming, like, they are American citizens. Like, so there's something that they're, like, maybe not their family, maybe it is their family, maybe it's just society, or maybe who knows what it is, but something is making them feel that way. And I feel like we do need to figure out what that is instead of just attacking, like, them as Nazis. Like, oh, you're a Nazi. Which, I'm, like, totally, like, fuck a Nazi, but...
But these people
that are fucking out there saying, and everyone's calling them Nazis, but they're fucking Americans, and like, you need, like, not to support, I'm not supporting them at all, but like, there's something wrong with America if you have Americans coming up, growing up and being Nazis. Like,
I understand what you're trying to.
I think there's more bigots. Like, the Nazi is kind of an outdated term now. Like, there's kind of...
Well, it's... They get labeled with Nazi on account of the swastika armbands they walk around.
True, but...
That's gotta be part of it.
Kind of labeling themselves. Yeah, well, they're, like, wearing, like, Levi's. Or like, yeah, just, like, labels. These armbands look sick.
They've been around forever. It's just they feel like they can be themselves more now because Trump and the whole...
Well, hatred has always existed, obviously, and people look for a form to put that into and why they feel held down by a certain... portion of society, so that's how they get it out. Yeah. I'm not saying that it makes it right at all, but I mean, like, even like how you say you hate both sides, like the left does it too. I mean, like, everyone's trying to hate something.
I mean, in Georgia, when I was a kid, I had several friends who we would go kind of sneak it through their grandpa's stuff and find his Klan hood.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was, it's been this common the whole time.
Yeah, just not as,
They wore masks and stuff. People didn't know who they were. Now, social media, and they're dumb, and they go out with tiki torches. Yeah, they're
not even afraid to show
cameras in their faces and then wonder why they're on social media.
Like, the most white thing you could ever do is hold tiki torches.
I thought it was the most Hawaiian thing you could do.
I think,
you're right.
Maybe there's a lot of mosquitoes in that area.
I fucking hate mosquitoes.
Well, so do they.
Yeah, Bobby becomes a Nazi. We got free torches. What are you gonna do? It's a deal.
I think to Slim's point, that it comes from some. There's a weird thing with, like, confused white kids trying to find an identity. Like, punk rock's not good enough anymore for some reason.
Yeah.
And they're. Parents are both at work all the time now, and they're just on the internet finding the most awful people on 4chan. And
it's almost like American History X, like how Danny was trying to find himself, and he found it.
I feel ashamed
that
so much of this is coming from Ohio, though, honestly.
Yeah, the dude that killed the girl.
Not even that. Like, almost everyone that got identified on social media from that rally.
Oh, really?
Like, I would say, like, half of them were from Ohio.
I would imagine they just happened to get a big group of... you know, people that
from that area,
from the
that
same
could,
area, that got all the attention, because there were hundreds more people there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Why wasn't there anybody from that city being identified online as a Nazi?
Paid protesters, it's orchestrated by George Soros.
I was just getting ready to say that. I heard that today.
Yeah,
that he paid people from both sides.
Yeah, like, to pretend. They're false flag Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
And he's Jewish.
What the fuck more? That's insane.
I think people just have a hard time believing this is the reality.
Actually happening. They're like, no, it's got to be a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Have you read 1984?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, Chris, do you have anything else to shout out? Do you have any shows coming up? And give us our Instagram and your Facebook if you'd like to shout that out as well.
Facebook's the easy. I'm the most active there. I'm Chris Edward Paw on Facebook.
Yeah, comment on his status. He'll talk to you back.
Yeah.
Very nicely.
As long as I like what you have to say.
As long as you agree, yeah.
Yeah.
That's your Facebook bio. As long as you agree, okay.
Yeah. I am a much bigger dick on the thing that I actually put out into the world.
Yes.
Yeah, Chris Edward Paw, it's the same thing on Instagram.
Any shows coming up next to Ad Hominem?
The first Saturday of every month, and the podcast is usually out every Wednesday.
And where can you find that? iTunes everywhere?
iTunes, yeah.
Cool.
That's cool.
Wherever. Right on. Sweet. Well, I normally
can
don't,
I, as yeah, a please. Favor, well, you don't have to.
Will you light this tiki torch?
Will you go, you tell a roast joke about all of us? You can start with me if you want to.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And
You can start with me, because that would probably be the easiest one.
I would probably be, but also I just didn't want you guys to feel like I was being like, make fun of Paul for me or anything like that.
Which is
what Sean would do if he was hosting this. He'd have been like, can you roast Paul?
Yeah. For the next 5 minutes and go.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? I told you I was insecure. No, go ahead.
I got nothing, man. You guys are swell.
Oh, thanks, wow.
Brother. Hell yeah. I
appreciate that.
All right. Can't wait for a Facebook post. It's like, Paul Wolf. Bob Capar, Nazi sympathizer.
No.
Loves tiki torches.
Yeah. Yeah, loves tiki torches. Dot, dot, dot.
If that's the case, I promise I'll have the boss to tag you in the post. Yes, yes.
All right. Well, thanks so much, man. I never shake anyone's hand because Sean does. But he's not
here. That was loud. Never mind.
All right, Andrew, you want to take us out with a song, and then we'll come back and do some news. You can take off if you need to. If you want to stick around, you're more than welcome to.
Hell yeah. Here we go.
Toad Sage Skateboarding and Photography is run by Dominic Vito and is proud sponsor of the Lousy Weather Media Patreon. They feature local Akron skateboarding along with band, landscape, and even sometimes truck photography. Check out their Facebook page at Toad Sage Skateboarding and Photography and subscribe to their YouTube channel, Toad Sage Skateboarding. Help out and support local creatives like this one, and respect the toad.
That's too much sauce. That's too much sauce. Protect Philippe, the flame one. That's too much sauce. Hermes in the aim.
What's
too much sauce. They let me know before I was famous. I had too much sauce.
No, all the my blow now.
That's too much sauce.
Okay, thank you.
Too much sauce. Too much sauce. That's too much sauce.
Too much sauce. You see, Bobby, sometimes. You can get lost in the sauce.
There's not enough sauce, man.
Sometimes you can get lost in the sauce, but you were not born with the sauce.
Not enough sauce.
What's the sauce?
The juice. You know, you either have it or you don't.
There's not enough sauce.
What's the juice? I don't understand.
It's just not enough.
It's just your it's just,
guava juice, pineapple juice, mango juice.
It's everything.
All the juice.
Paul.
I'm sorry.
Join us, Joseph.
Passion fruit juice.
An off mic. Nope. Shake of the head. All right, I have a news story. Oh, okay. Wait, do I have news? I forgot to do the interview.
Do I have news?
No, I'm at the...
Do we still do news?
Normally, no.
Normally, no.
Oh, damn. Can you hook me up, dude? With the plug, bro.
Here you go, guy.
Thanks, man. Go ahead, plug it in.
I don't know where that is.
It's
on your side. New news, everyone. Was that your Farnsworth?
I don't know what that was.
Oh, damn.
It's my pallbearer.
I don't need it. Oh, you turned it down.
Nope, not working. All right. News. Bobby Paul and Sean, where are you?
We
got some. Oh, I was doing news. The Scooby-Doo one.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we're doing well.
Okay.
All right, so NYC subway workers say dead bodies are being stored in their bathrooms.
Well...
Yeah, employees in the New York City subway believe they can improve their working environment with one teensy-weensy, itsy-bitsy change in protocol. Stop storing dead bodies in the break rooms and bathrooms. I mean, that's not like a bad thing to say. If like at JCPenney where they're like hiding dead bodies, you'd be like, hey, if we can't do this, guys.
Are they hiding them there or are they just like storing them there until somebody can come get them?
Exactly. So when someone dies on the subway or in a terminal, their body is removed as quickly as possible just for the service to be resumed.
It makes sense. You'd rather have that dead body in the fucking employee room than in the fucking room that everybody goes to. It's going to kill business, man.
All right, so it's your break time.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to take a load off and just fucking sit down and, oh, my fucking God, a dead body.
Hey, well, then I won't hang out in the break room for my break time.
All right, well, we solved that one.
There it is.
There you go. Fucking employees need to fucking do their job. Come on.
Or go somewhere else. Not work somewhere else. Just walk, you know.
Gotcha.
Exactly. There's a bunch of jobs, and there's somebody that's willing to do your job. Come on.
I just meant, like, walk up to the surface and just go get a coffee or something and come back.
I mean, even if you don't want to. Like, if that's too much for you and you can't handle that job, go get another job. Please.
I don't know.
And let somebody that wants to do that job do it, because I hate handling... I hate going into places and people act like they fucking hate their job and it just ruins your experience there. Like, everybody fucking hates their job. If you can't handle it, get a different job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me every day.
That was me every day. And welcome to retail. I quit my job last week.
Congratulations, Bobby.
Yeah.
Now you're newly employed.
Now I got a new job. Every time I've ever quit my job, I got a job the same day that I applied for it.
Really?
Exactly.
Shouts out to you, guys.
So I just...
Determination.
Just fucking be determined and go get a fucking job. Like, it's not that hard. Like, is all I'm saying. Like, people act like it's hard because they don't go fucking try.
All right.
Let a fucking dead body hold you back. That's all I'm saying. That's the moral.
All that dead weight.
If you got a fucking dead body and you're sick of your job, go get a new job. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
You guys got any other news or anything else you'd like to say before we end this podcast? Oh, Chris Paul left. He was a fantastic guest. I appreciate him coming on.
Yeah.
It was good to talk comic books with him without Sean here.
You're about to make this segment like 5 minutes. We can at least talk something.
But we all, yeah, I don't care.
Anything else, guys?
Don't let this segment just be me being negative.
No, you weren't. You're very uplifting. You're like, hey, if you hate your life, fucking quit. Wait, yeah, no, it's you
like,
didn't say
also,
that.
Like, that is kind of positive.
If you hate your life, quit.
That sounds like suicide. No,
do not do that. Damn. Do not do that.
Damn. I did, I don't know if you guys care, but I did see some fake news today about reports of Floyd Mayweather getting knocked out in sparring just 3 weeks before his fight with Conor McGregor.
Why is it? So it wasn't real?
It turned out being fake, yeah. But everyone was freaking out about it. Like, oh my God, like he actually got knocked out. And yeah, it ended up being fake. But that comes off the heels of rumors that Conor McGregor pretty much beat down his sparring partner, Polynagio.
I don't believe one thing I read about this fight.
Why?
I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay, that's fair.
Because these guys have been spotted on a plane together.
Have they? Well, I mean, yeah, they're going to different...
Well,
they're not really... They have real beef. They're hyping that shit up.
But they act like they have real beef. And that's what's fucked up. If it's not acting, then don't make it WWE.
I mean, they gotta sell tickets.
It's gonna sell tickets anyway, because they're the two top fighters. Like, they don't need to act like...
No, it's such a mismatch. If they didn't have those press conferences, that got me so much more hype.
I feel like it's still gonna sell tickets. I feel like the press conferences got me less hype, because I realized that this is just fake media bullshit.
I don't know. They're actually not doing ticket projections as they thought they would, because T-Mobile Arena is pretty expensive in Vegas.
And also, fucking one dude was being weird as fuck in that one interview. That got me unhyped,
too.
The
bodyguard?
No, the guy that's like cocky as fuck.
Connor?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
In the one interview where he was being like weird as... You know what interview I'm talking about? The one that you said you hated.
Oh, and when they were in New York. Yeah, he came out in a mink coat with a dragon on it. And he said, "This is made of polar bear." And I was like, ooh, you're not gonna... No, don't do that.
It's like NFL shit. It's like NFL bullshit. It's like these guys are getting paid way too much money. They're taking advantage of it. They're not even realizing that they're fucking getting paid for something. They're like, oh, I'm a star now. Like, you're getting paid to fucking perform. You're an entertainer. Like, that's why you get paid so much fucking money.
But I do think Connor's the real deal because he said, yeah, I'm going to go fight Floyd. I'm going to make over 100 mil, be the biggest paid UFC fighter ever. And then he said, I want to go fight the number one contender, who is Khabib, who is this badass Russian dude who's never lost. He wants to fight him in Russia. That's cool. Fucking badass.
To me, the fucking draw of MMA is it isn't sports entertainment. It's actual fighting. Like, if you want to watch sports entertainment, go fucking watch WWE.
Well,
you want to watch two people that got beef over each other that's fake, go watch WWE. Fucking MMA should be fucking real fucking beef.
It like, should. It's been leading into the sports entertainment business because they bought for like $4.2 billion. So it's been leading into like, oh, well,
it's
you know.
It's been sports entertainment since they had the Ultimate Fighter.
Well, of course. It is. But it's now it's like, oh, well, this guy's been like, killing everyone. But this guy talks a lot of shit, so we're going to make him fight the champ. So it's like, it's all about making money now. You know, you got to sell the most
pay-per-views. I just don't want to see any fake shit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
All right, well, let's have a good day.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.